Good evening. I'm very happy to be here with you this evening and very excited to open up God's Word with you as well. Our text tonight is Psalm 23, which you can find on page 581 in the Church Bible. I'll also be referencing Matthew chapter 7. So if you'd like to put a bookmark there, you can find that on page 1032 in the Church Bible as well. Well, Matthew Henry said this about Psalm 23. He said, it's a psalm which has been sung by good Christians and will be, while the world stands, with a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction. Well, it's easy to see why Psalm 23 is a favorite of Christians and has been for thousands of years. It's because it's a reminder of God's provision in this life. And it's a promise of a great victory feast at the end of this long and difficult journey. It's a psalm that's given in order to comfort us and to encourage us. And so I would encourage you now to listen to God's word. Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask for God's blessing on his word. Lord, we come to you this evening because you call us to do so, and you promise to meet with us through your word. And so we ask that you would be pleased to do so, that you would send your Spirit. Pour him out in abundance. Open our hearts. Strengthen us, we pray, in Christ. Amen. Psalm 23 picks up on a common metaphor that we see in the Scriptures. That's a metaphor which is used to describe God's relationship to his people, and that's the metaphor of a shepherd to his sheep. Well, it's a metaphor which is perhaps a little foreign to us. I don't imagine that we have any shepherds in the congregation tonight. I can think of a few cattle farmers perhaps, but no sheep farmers. But it's a metaphor which was not foreign to the psalmist, not to King David. Now, the Bible tells us that David himself was actually a shepherd. And so he knew firsthand what the primary qualification of a shepherd was. And that's faithfulness. Because a shepherd, especially in those days, was always with his sheep. Wherever his sheep went, there he had to go. And when the sheep were traveling from one field to another, the shepherd would sleep with them under the stars. But as a shepherd, David not only understood his role, but he also understood the nature of sheep. It's a metaphor which the Bible uses to describe God's people. And you might be wondering, why sheep? Or why not a horse? Or why not buffaloes? But really, a sheep? But this is intentional. And there's something that we are to learn about being called sheep. And the first thing is this. God calls us his sheep because we're a flock. And we're his precious flock. And like sheep to a shepherd, we're valuable to God. We're worth caring for to him. And that's because he made us for a particular purpose. He made human beings distinct from any other creature. He made us to live in communion with him. He created us in his image. But we're like sheep in other ways as well. We're like sheep in that we're a vulnerable species. We're vulnerable to predators. And without guidance, we tend to wander. And like sheep, we can be a little unintelligent at times. And so in order for us to survive in this life, we really need a shepherd. And not just any shepherd, not even a good shepherd, but we need the good shepherd. We need the Lord to be our shepherd. And so for David, as he says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not just a sentimental platitude, but it's really a declaration of life. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying, I will live because the Lord is my shepherd. And so the question I have for you this evening, the question I think we're all called to ask ourselves as we continue on this Christian journey is the Lord my shepherd? Is the Lord my shepherd? And so I want to give you four follow-up questions to consider tonight to help you to confirm with David, to help you say, yes, yes, the Lord is my shepherd too, and therefore I will live. The first question is this. Does the Lord nourish you? Does the Lord nourish you? The Oxford Dictionary defines the verb to nourish by saying it means to provide with the food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. And we see that in Psalm 23. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Perhaps a better translation is, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord provides him with physical provision. In verse 2, he makes him lie down in green pastures. He leads him beside still waters. He provides food, water, a resting place. But there's something more that the Lord nourishes David with, and we see that in verse 3. David said, the Lord restores my soul. You see, the Lord provides something for David which only human beings need, and that's spiritual nourishment. And that's because we're different than any other creature. We're not just a body, but we're a body and a soul. And so we need food not just for our body, but we need food for our soul. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He tells us that our soul, the spiritual nourishment that we need, comes to us through God's word. And David understood this. In Psalm 19, just four chapters before Psalm 23, David says this about God's word. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Well, God's word revives the soul. It makes the wise I'm sorry, it makes the simple wise. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. The Lord nourished David through his word, and he nourishes us the same way. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that one way that God's word nourishes us spiritually is by correcting us. And this isn't always the most pleasant form of spiritual nourishment. Perhaps for some of us, it's like eating vegetables. They may not be our favorite food, but we're assured by our parents, by our wives, that they're really good for us. And so in order to be strong, we need to eat our vegetables. It's the same way with spiritual nourishment. For us to grow, the Lord often needs to correct us because we're like sheep who tend to wander. And so the second question I have for you this evening to confirm that indeed the Lord is your shepherd is this: does the Lord correct you through his word? Does the Lord correct you through his word? We don't have to look hard on the internet to find testimonies of the foolishness of sheep. And there seems to be a common problem that shepherds have with their sheep, and that they tend to get their heads stuck in fences. And so the shepherd will have to make the rounds every day and see which sheep it is that got his head stuck in the fence and push it through, or sometimes clip the fence. And this is typically the same sheep day in and day out who gets his head stuck in that fence. And we're the same way. I don't mean to say that we get our heads stuck in fences every day. But we do foolish things. We do foolish things again and again, don't we? And I'm referring to sin. When we get angry at our loved ones, when we grow envious of those who have things that we don't have, when we lust after the flesh, when we don't honor the Lord the way that he commands us to, or the way that he truly deserves. Now, one of the problems is that we can't see these things on our own, and that sin is more often than not really blinding. Proverbs 16:2 says that all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And so we need God's word to remind us that the way of sin leads to death, but the path of righteousness leads to life. And God does this, and he promises to do this for us because he's our shepherd, and he's a faithful shepherd, and you are his precious flock. And so he promises to correct you because he loves you. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says that, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. If you are left without discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." But there's another reason why the Lord corrects his sheep, a more ultimate reason why the Lord corrects those he loves. And we see this in verse 3. David says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." We are made in the image of God. We were made to reflect God in part. And so when we sin, we mar the image of God. And so God corrects us not only for our good, but for his own glory. And that's the first question of the Shorter Catechism, isn't it? What is the chief end of man but to glorify God and enjoy him forever? And so if he is your shepherd, he will correct you. And if the Lord is not correcting you through his word, the question you should be asking yourself is the Lord my shepherd? If he's your shepherd, he will correct you, but not just that. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will protect you. And so the third question I have for you tonight is, does the Lord protect you? Does the Lord protect you? Well, life is full of many dangers, and the Christian is not exempt from any of them. Injury, illness, old age, and death. And those are things that we can all certainly expect in this life. But there's a greater threat. And not a temporal threat, but an eternal threat. Not a physical threat, but a spiritual threat. And the Bible tells us that spiritual threats often come through other people. And the Lord, picking up on this metaphor of a sheep and a shepherd in Matthew chapter 7, describes these threats which come through other people. In Matthew 7, verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He tells us to beware of false prophets. These are individuals who speak into our lives with a sense of authority, people who claim to be speaking the truth, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And they don't come to us telling us that they're wolves. But he says they're dressed in sheep's clothing. Now, these are people who are perhaps very kind, winsome, have an appearance of wisdom. They don't look like wolves. Well, who are they? Just a little further in that passage, Jesus says, with reference to the wolves, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." A wolf is someone who does not obey the will of God, someone who is not walking in paths of righteousness and is someone who is trying to lead God's sheep away from the paths of righteousness. And at this point, we need to ask ourselves, be reminded, what is the path of righteousness? What does it mean to be walking along the path of righteousness? And I think you know the answer to this. But the Lord reminds us, just prior to this warning about wolves, he says this, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." He says that the narrow gate, the hard way which leads to life, is to love one another. And Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments by saying that they can be summarized in these two: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Are you on that path? Have you discovered that it's really hard to love other people, especially at certain times? This is the path to righteousness. This is the narrow gate which we are called to walk through. To walk as Christ walked. And so a wolf is anyone who distracts you from God's call to love one another. And it's just that. It's a distraction usually. And no one's going to tell you not to love another person. But they're going to distract you with all sorts of things which lead you down a different path to life. A path which leads to destruction. And Psalm 23 says that we live in the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord gives us this warning because wolves exist. They're all around us. Who are the wolves in your life? Who are those who are influencing you greatest? Is it social media? Is it co-workers? Perhaps friends and family members? Is it your own heart? You see, wolves exist both outside the church and within. And it's hard to spot them. But the Lord promises to protect us from them. And so we have to draw near to Him for this protection. Is He showing you the wolves in your life? Is He protecting you from them? Can you say with David that the Lord's rod and His staff are a comfort to you? Well, finally, and perhaps most importantly, I'd like to ask you this question tonight. Is the Lord your Savior? For the Lord to be your shepherd, He must first be your Savior. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching him, he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You see, though a shepherd, the Lord became a sheep. Though God, the Lord became a man. And He was a man with physical needs. He hungered, He thirsted, He grew weary. He was a man who faced physical dangers. From the moment He was born, there were those who sought to kill Him. And He was a man who faced spiritual threats. Hebrews 4:15 says that in every respect He was tempted as we, but without sin. So I ask the question, why? Why did the Son of God do this? Why did He subject Himself to this life? I'd like to read to you from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through 7. This is the prophet speaking of the coming Messiah. He says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth." When the day of His crucifixion, the prophet tells us that Jesus bore the iniquity of His people. And through faith in His resurrection, God's people inherit His righteousness. Have you put your faith in Christ? Is the Lord your Savior? If He is, He's also your shepherd. And He's not just your shepherd, but He's your example. Because Psalm 23 is really His psalm. It's really a psalm describing His experience when He walked this earth. And so He was able to exclaim, verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And that's because He knew that His shepherd was with Him. He knew that His heavenly Father would nourish Him through His word. He knew that His heavenly Father would protect Him from the wolves, lead Him in paths of righteousness. And He could say in verse 5, because of His death and resurrection, that a table would be prepared for Him in the presence of His enemies, that His head would be anointed with oil, that His cup would overflow. And so if the Lord is your shepherd, you are that former enemy who is now seated at His table. And you know that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, because you too will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that your Son is our shepherd, that he is the good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, we wander like sheep. We're vulnerable to predators. And Lord, we sin time and time again. But we take great comfort in your protection over us. And so we ask that you would continue to watch out over your flock, that you would continue to shepherd your people, that we would look forward to that time, to that celebration feast, a time when there will be no more wolves, a time when there will be no more sin. Help us to put our hope in that, Lord, for we ask it in Christ. Amen.